Good morning, everyone. For those of you that might be visiting with us today, Pastor Mike, our pastor, has asked a few of us to share a message for the next couple of weeks while he's gone. I've never done this before, so I want you to pray for me as we go through this. He's always told me that if I were to ever share a message, that my style is apologetic. Well, the first thing I wanted to say to him was, I'm sorry. Because I didn't really know what that was or, you know, what that meant. And actually what that means is it's someone that gives point after point after point based on biblical theology to prove the truth of the word. So for the past couple of weeks, I've been working on my sermon, and after I got my message together, I realized that he was right, that I am an apologetic. So if you find me hammering down on the truth today, I'm sorry. Far too many of us believers believe in a God that we simply do not trust. Most of us here today, I hope, believe in God and also affirm the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But there seems to be a disconnect. There seems to be a disconnect for our faith in Christ to navigate us on earth. This disconnect is because we simply do not trust Him. We do not trust the Lord, the God that we believe in. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to navigate life, to understand the true nature of things, and to implement those things and then apply God's will in those circumstances. Solomon understood the importance when he said, Lord, don't give me riches, but give me wisdom. We all would be in a different place in our lives today if we had more wisdom. If I were to give you some advice today, it would simply be, start living the rest of your life wisely. And this is how. If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll be reading out of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before You this morning. Lord, we are humbled at Your word. We thank You for the opportunity that we have a place and a chance to worship. We thank You for the opportunities that we have that You give us each and every day, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, that You hide me behind the cross. I could not be up here if it wasn't for You helping me, Lord. And I pray that You, the very words that are spoken today, are the very words that You want me to speak. We love You and we praise Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever noticed how kids seem to be fearless? It's not really that they're fearless. It's the fact that they have so much trust in the adults that surround them. It's not their fearlessness. It's the trust. We were visiting with my mother-in-law, and we were all sitting around on the porch, and Ashley and the kids were up, and Anthony was there, a few of us were there, and Rogan, my grandson, decides to all of a sudden take off and run and jump off the porch. Well, the porch, it stands probably about 4 foot high up off the ground, and there's no railing on the porch. Well, Anthony was standing there, and he takes off and runs and just jumps right into his arms. He didn't tell him he was going to jump. He didn't ask him to catch him or anything, and Anthony just caught him, and I was sitting right there, and he was like, whoa, I guess he knew I was going to catch him. So, you know, that's the type of trust that these kids have in the adults that surround them. That's the type of trust that we need to have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first point I want to make, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In order for us to trust in God entirely, there are a couple of things that we first must recognize and understand. First and foremost, we must believe the Bible from cover to cover. We must believe from Genesis to Revelation. We must believe word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. The second thing that we must realize or understand is God does not lie. It says in His Word, God does not lie, He cannot lie, He will not lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. This is the apologetic in me here, so I'm sorry for going over it too much. Numbers 23:19, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Not only does he not lie, cannot lie, will not lie, and he will not change his mind. 1 Samuel 15:29, and also the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret. So why is it so important that we believe in a God, that we believe that God will not and cannot lie? So we will trust him. You're not going to trust someone who lies. Well, it says it in Scripture, God does not lie, therefore we can trust him. Now, the order of the passage here, it first starts out by saying, trust in the Lord. That's first. It doesn't start out by saying, don't lean on your own understanding and then trust in the Lord. It doesn't start out by saying, in all your ways acknowledge him and then trust in the Lord. It starts out by saying, trust in the Lord first. You know, when it comes to navigating our lives, we usually want to trust ourselves first. I know I'm guilty of that in a bad kind of way. The kind of work that I do in construction, you know, not everything always works out according to plan. The blueprints say this, and you're out in the field, and it's showing this, and, you know, you got to try to work things out, and you got to kind of work through things and figure out, you know, how to run the plumbing or do the HVAC system or, you know, whatever. And I try to do all that myself. You know, I have a hard time trying to not hand it over to God first. You know, and that's what we need to do. We need to give it to him first. Trust in the Lord first. That's the first part of this scripture. We start with what we think is best. Then when that doesn't work, then we decide to finally turn it over to God. We need to learn to give it to him first. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He knows everything. We should let him lead us, guide us, and direct us. Life would be a whole lot easier if we would just hand it over to him first. Why should we trust in the Lord? In Romans 11:33-36, it says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Another reason we should trust in the Lord is because his wisdom is beyond our ability to even conceive it. His wisdom is just, it's unsearchable. You know, his judgments are just, it's just hard to imagine. He knows it all. His ways are the best ways. His ways will always be the best ways. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I want to do a little plug here for our Wednesday night Bible study. Jennifer had talked about it, and it's just such a blessing to be able to come and have the opportunity to go through this Bible study. Tony Evans, he's the author of this Bible study, and we've been talking about putting on the belt of truth, the belt of truth. Tony Evans, he says how God is the ultimate truth. And in our Bible study, in our handout, in our booklet, there's a quote that I'd like to read to you. It says, Jesus was absolutely convinced of the goodness and love of his Father. He was so sure of who God was that he was able to stand firm against the ruthless and insidious attacks of the enemy. You know, if Jesus is so convinced of his love, we need to be that convinced. This quote just really stood out to me and made me think, you know, like I said, since he is so convinced, that's exactly how we need to be. We need to be convinced of his truth and of his love. Job says, I'm looking for wisdom. Where can I find it? He said, I looked to the people. I couldn't find it there. I looked to the depths of the sea. I could not find it there. I looked up in the sky. I could not find it there. He says, I could not find wisdom amongst the living. Nothing around me could give me wisdom, but thou, O Lord, knowest it. The Lord is the one who will give us the wisdom, the perfect wisdom that we need. Another reason we should trust in the Lord. God's the only one who can give us that perfect wisdom. That perfect wisdom, Job says it, thou, O Lord, knowest it. He couldn't find it amongst the people. He couldn't find it up in the air. He couldn't find it in the depths of the sea. He could not find it anywhere. God's wisdom is infinite and true. You know, talking about God's wisdom, for his ability to have coordinated all the events throughout all of eternity, from creation up until now, and then from now until forever, it's just unimaginable. You know, for to be able to coordinate all those events, you know, can you imagine? We can barely coordinate a day's time. You know, I mean, I can. I know that's how I am in a day. My days are here and there and everywhere. So, but you know, but by the way, we also have to realize God created time as well. You know, so. Anyway, so why would we not want to trust him? He is perfect. He is perfect in all of his ways. We as humans, we're going to fail you. We're going to fail people. We're going to maybe tell lies or do this or do that. God is perfect in all of his ways. Once again, point number one, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, completely, entirely, and with every aspect in your life. The second point that I want to go over today, do not lean on your own understanding. The second verse, this second part to verse 5, Romans 3:4, it says, and I'm paraphrasing, let God be true and every man a liar. Therefore, do not lean on your own understanding. The first part, trust in the Lord. The second part, do not lean on your own understanding. Why does God tell us not to lean on our own understanding? Well, Paul says in Philippians, to put no confidence in the flesh. Don't rely on ourselves because we're really not that good. We just simply aren't that good. We think our decisions are right, but they really aren't. You know, how many times have we later figured out that a decision that we made was incorrect or that was wrong? If we maybe would have went to God first, maybe he could have gave us the right decision or maybe gave us the right answer. We think our understanding is good, but it really isn't. So here's what we do. Because we're Christians, we know that we're supposed to trust in the Lord. We know that we are supposed to believe the Bible cover to cover. We talked about that earlier. Cover to cover, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're supposed to go to church. We're supposed to maybe be involved in a study group or a Bible study maybe on Wednesday night. We're supposed to maybe have prayer time, have fellowship among believers. Then there's the other side of our lives, the secular world, the everyday life that we live outside of these walls. We think in the secular world that we have to be practical. We think that parts of the Bible do not apply to us. We kind of throw Sunday out on Monday. Monday comes around and we forget everything that we heard on Sunday, and I'm guilty of this as well. So here's what we do, and Terry was talking about this morning. We mix the two together. We mix the secular with the sacred. You know, we don't need to lower God's standards. God's standards are up here, and the earthly standards or our secular standards are way down here, and you can't mix the two together. There's no in-between. There's no middle ground here. You know, we live in a broken world, a broken society today. An example of this might be maybe a Christian person seeking after a mate. Maybe they're single. Maybe they've been single for a while. They're seeking after a mate. Well, maybe they're going to a bar to find that mate. Well, there's the two. There's the difference. There's the secular with the sacred. We cannot mix the two together. We cannot. We just can't. We just can't mix the two together. Or maybe when we have parents that let the kids rule the roost, Well, the Bible doesn't say let the kids rule the roost, right? The Bible says, you know, to you, as a parent, you're supposed to be in charge of that child. You're supposed to not let them make the decisions for you. You're not supposed to let them tell you how it's supposed to go. So God's standards are up here. The secular standards are down here. We cannot mix the two together. We have to do the Christian stuff because we're Christian, but we also have the real world stuff that we live in because that we live in it. We mix the two together to fit our needs. The Bible calls this double-mindedness. When you mix the sacred with the secular, it's double-mindedness. We feel that the secular has to help the sacred. Well, God doesn't need any help. We think that he might need help, but God needs no help. He is perfect in all of his ways. In James 3, 15 through 17, it says, "This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." So, you know, like I said before, there's wisdom from above that comes from God, and then there's wisdom from below that comes from Satan. Well, this wisdom from below is really not wisdom. It's just information. The only wisdom out there is God's wisdom. Satan thinks he might have wisdom, but he does not. It's only information that we get from the secular world. And let me go over that again. There is a big difference. There's a big difference from the earthly information, or earthly wisdom, I guess you could say. It's earthly, unspiritual, demonic, jealousy and selfish ambition exist, disorder and every vile practice. And then God's wisdom that comes from above, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. You see the difference? Big deal. Now, this is God's word. These aren't my words. And we talked about the first thing we talked about, believing in God's word, cover to cover, word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. These are God's words. So, here's the problem. Once again, we mix the two together. We mix the secular with the sacred. And when we mix the two together, we lose the wisdom from God. Now, have you ever thought that you might need more wisdom? I know I have, every day. Then we need to ask for it. If we ask for it, he will give it to us. If he gives it to you, however, there is a catch. In James 1, 5 through 7, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And it will be given to you," or I'm sorry, "it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose or expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." So here's the catch. You ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. He will give it to you generously. He will give it to you without reproach. But you must believe. You must not doubt. Because if you do, he may not answer your prayers. Verse 7 again. "That person must not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." We have to ask it in faith. We have to ask it with no doubt. We have to ask it without any disbelief. So this wisdom that we ask for, once again, we cannot mix the two together. We cannot mix the secular with the sacred. We don't want to lower God's standards. It might not be that we don't know the Word of God. It's just that we mix the two together. We don't need to be considered a double-minded person. This is why it's so important to stay in the Word, so that we let the Lord lead us and the Holy Spirit guide us. to know the difference between God's wisdom and the earthly information that is being filled into our brains, into our minds. Study the Bible, read the Word, pray about what you're reading, so you do not mix the two together. Now, there are many examples from the Bible that a person's trust led them down the right path. The example of Peter. You know, Peter was a professional fisherman. That's what he did day in and day out. And I would assume that he was an excellent fisherman. He knew where the fish were. He knew where to cast his nets. He knew how to catch the fish. He knew where to go, what to do. Well, Peter was having a bad night. And Jesus tells him, throw the net on the other side. Well, they have toiled with this all night long. They weren't catching any fish. You know, like I said, Jesus tells him to throw it on the other side. Well, without any doubt, Peter throws the net on the other side. And it says that when he is raising up the net was so full, it started to break. Now, that's a good night. That is a good night. Anyway, he starts to raise the net up, and the net started to break. So he had to call upon another boat to come help him raise the net. It says in the Bible, when both boats raised the net up, filled both boats full of fish, the boat started to sink. Well, Peter did not lean upon his own understanding and say, I'm not throwing the net on the other. You're crazy. I know where the fish are. I know how to fish. In good faith and in trust in the Lord, Peter threw the net on the other side. Another example is Mary. You know, when the angel of the Lord appeared to this 16-year-old woman who had never known a man and told her that she would give birth to the Son of God. Without any doubt and without leaning on her own understanding, Mary simply said, let it be. Now that is faith. That is trust in the Lord. When Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place received by that he was to receive by inheritance. He went not knowing where he was going, what he was doing. He went anyway. Noah, when God told Noah to build the ark, it says in the Bible, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. It had never rained before Noah's time. And God is telling Noah to build an ark because rain is going to fall from the sky and flood the earth. You know, they didn't even know probably what rain was. But what did Noah do? He built the ark. He did not lean upon his own understanding. He built the ark. And lastly, as an example, Job, when Job says, though he slayest me, I will trust him. That's what we need to do. We need to trust in the Lord and do not lean on our own understanding. All these are great examples of trust and not leaning on their own understanding. These examples did not mix the secular with the sacred. They did not mix the two together. We need to follow these examples and listen to what God is telling us to do. Do not lean on our own understanding. Listen to what God is telling us. Okay, so point one was trust in the Lord. Point number two, do not lean on your own understanding. Now we come to point number three. From the text in verse 6, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So what does it mean to acknowledge? The definition of acknowledge is to declare that one recognizes the claims of a person or thing fully established, an intimate response based on knowledge and relationship whereby pleasing that person becomes your goal. Well, out of all those words there in the definition, what stood out in my mind was pleasing that person becomes the goal. That's acknowledgement. You know, when a person has been single for a long time, whether it's a man or a woman, doesn't matter. Maybe they went to high school and graduated from high school. They went on to college, graduated from college. They got a job. They maybe got their own place to live, an apartment or a house or something. So they're maybe in their late 20s, I don't know, early 30s. And then all of a sudden, they get married. Well, their decisions that they used to make are now based on their spouse. That's acknowledgement. They have to acknowledge that there's someone else in the picture. It's not just themselves. That's acknowledgement. This is how we need to make decisions. We need to make these decisions by acknowledging that God is here with us, that acknowledging that God is there right beside us. This is how we need to run these decisions by Him first, because, like I said before, our goal is to please Him, as the definition says, pleasing that person. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. God is saying, when it comes to life's decisions, like it's finances, it might be a family issue, it might be your job, it might be a neighbor giving you a hard time, it might be you as a parent, it might be an illness, a sickness. He has all the right resources, all the right answers, so He wants to be acknowledged in all of our ways. God has an answer for all the issues in life. Every problem, every issue, God can show you in Scripture and in prayer, and also through the Holy Spirit. That can guide you in your ways if and only if we acknowledge Him. So how many of you consider to be analytical or maybe black or white? I know Ashley and I are a lot like this in that area. You know, we almost have to see it to believe it. We need to ask ourselves, what does God's word say about our situation? I want to know, God, what you want me to do. We need to seek these answers through His word, through prayer, and also let the Holy Spirit guide us in these situations. So, point number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Point number two, do not lean on your own understanding. Point number three, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And lastly, the fourth point, and He will make your path straight. Several years ago, V and I went on a trip, and we had to fly out of Columbus. So we make the drive up to Columbus, and we had been to Columbus several times. We fly out of Columbus, and then we fly back into Columbus. And then it was late at night when we got back, and we wanted to go ahead and drive on home. So we punched the home address in the GPS. This was before Google Maps and iPhones and all that, you know. So we punched the address in the GPS, and about 45 minutes into our drive home, we realized that we were not on the normal path that we have taken in the past. It was weird. It was just, it wasn't the normal path. It was late at night. It started to snow. It was in the winter. And it was a windy road. It was taking a lot longer than it seemed that it should have taken, you know. So it was just this path that we took. It was just the wrong path. It was a crooked path. We finally made it home, however, but it was just taking a long time. It took a lot longer than what it should have taken. So my question is there anyone here today going down a crooked path? That crooked path that you're on, is it a crooked path? Maybe are you on a path that is crooked through your finances, or are you on a path that is crooked through your marriage, through relationships with others, through an addiction? He says that He will make your path straight. You know, people are going in circles in life, round and round. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. The Lord will remove any obstacles in your path, in our lives, and make your path straight. And once again, those obstacles could be anything. It could be a number of things. It could be your job. It could be your relationship with someone. It could be an addiction. It could be a burden of any sort, any type of circumstance. God will make your path straight. In Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Verse 24, "If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." I know Bruce shared this same scripture Wednesday night in our Bible study. But man, wouldn't that be nice? Your sleep to be sweet? Are you staying up at night trying to figure out how to move those boulders or those obstacles out of your path. We need to let Him take care of those boulders or those obstacles. We need to let Him take care of our finances. We need to let Him take care of that addiction that we might have. There was a husband and wife driving down the road. They had been married probably 30-some years. They were driving in a pickup truck, and the pickup trucks back then had just the bench seat in the front. You know, there was no middle console. The wife looks at the husband and said, do you remember the good old days when we used to drive down the road and shoulder to shoulder? And, you know, you might have your arm around me, or we might be holding hands side by side, and away we went. She said, you know, I kind of miss those days. Well, the husband looks at the wife and says, I haven't moved. I'm still in the same place, you know. So have you moved away from God? Are you still riding shoulder to shoulder with Him? Are you allowing Him to wrap His arms around you and guide you? We need God to navigate for us. Once again, He hasn't moved. He's still in the driver's seat if we let Him drive. He knows all the alternate routes that we need to take or that we should take. We need to get closer to God as He navigates our lives, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the truth in Your word. We thank You, Lord, that we can trust You, that we do not need to lean upon our own understanding, Lord. We just ask You, Lord, this morning, just to be with us, to show us, to guide us, direct us in the right path. Take us down the right road, Lord, and let us see Your glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Before we dismiss, I'm going to ask Bruce to come up. We're going to have a little special prayer for all the mothers here today. And I think V went back to get all the kids. The kids will be coming back out. So, got a mic.
Well, as we mentioned before, the fact that there are those that have taken care of our children, whether or not you're a mother in our eyes, and you're a mother in the eyes of God because you've looked after your neighbor. You have that ability to care about others and to give them that care. And what we would like to do this morning is first we'll say a prayer, and we're going to have the children bring a rose to each of the ladies here this morning, because you are truly a blessing to our church. We are so thankful that we have such wonderful mothers in this room. They are absolutely awesome, and you're such a blessing. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the mothers that we have, those that reach out and care for us, that lift our burdens, Father. We know that You've put them in our paths and given us them because it's something that through You giving to them, Lord, they give back to others. And we just pray that You will bless each and every woman here this morning. We thank You for the lives that they lead. We thank You for the love that they share, Lord. We just are so blessed and thankful for all You do for us. We ask all these things in the blessed name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We do have extra ones if anybody would like to take one or a few home to their mother. That would be no problem. Just thank you. We pray that you guys have a great day today. Anything else, Michael? Good. Thanks. Have a blessed week.